Welcome to the Inspired to Be Authentic podcast, a podcast where we converse with people who are living their most authentic lives. We get real with our guests and talk openly about how they live with courage to be themselves. We explore barriers they have overcome to be more authentic and aligned to themselves and their purpose. I am your host, Matt Lancidell. I am a transformative life coach, empathic healer, and spiritual teacher. I specialize in teaching people how to heal shame, trauma, and grief and embody their authentic self so they can enjoy more meaningful connections in their lives. My areas of expertise are working with highly sensitive people, empaths, and gay men to develop a stronger sense of self-worth. This is episode 36, and we are talking about collective grief with Leslie. Welcome, Leslie.
Hi. Thanks, Matt. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, good to have you here. So we're going to be learning a little bit about Leslie, and then we're each going to be talking a bit about the changing world we live in. We're seeing a lot of change in this world right now, and it's obviously going to have an impact on all of us, and it leads to grief, right? Change and loss lead to grief. So we're going to unpack this with you guys today, and we're going to be talking about climate grief, patriarchal grief, and then talking about building resilience. So I'm very excited to talk about this stuff, and Leslie has a podcast called Embody the Evolution, and we just did two episodes together on that. And so those will definitely check those out, because we talked a bit about, on the second podcast, we talked a bit about individual grief. So now we're moving it into more of a macrocosm, like the larger scale of how grief impacts us as a globe. So definitely we'll share those two podcasts in the show notes as well. So this Inspired to Be Authentic podcast and YouTube channel is a listener and viewer supported. If you're enjoying the content, you can support me by heading over to my Patreon page in the show notes to support the show. It helps me continue making inspirational content for you to consume. And I want to read a review from Wenland. Time for Inspiration was the title. And she's participated in two podcasts so far, or listened to two podcasts so far. The discussions are open and enlightening and uninhibited, sometimes soul-bearing. They give you a feeling of hope, understanding, and empowerment. That's awesome. That's the mission that we're here to fulfill. So I'm glad that it's being received by the listener. And so I want to formally introduce Leslie. She is an explorer, a coach, a mother, a concerned citizen, among many other labels. She is curious about all things personal development and deeply concerned with the state of the world. Leslie's theory of change begins with individual by deepening our capacity to learn, adapt, grow, and show up as your whole authentic selves. We can expand our abilities to lead and create change. Leslie works with change makers to help them transform their burnout and anxiety to feel more resilient, whole, and empowered so they can lead and contribute in bigger ways to creating a better world for the collective. So this is perfect. I'm super happy to have you on the show today, because I think we're going to have a really great conversation, and I'm really looking forward to learning about your story and kind of how you got, you know, your passion got lit up for this work. So do you want to maybe start there and share a bit of your story of origin with us?
Yeah, for sure. I think what we're talking about too today is the collective grief, but also just the need to rebalance the masculine and feminine energy as well. And so my story really starts with, you know, I have to give a bit of background. So I'm studied engineering, so very traditional masculine career, and I was working in this climate action space as an environmental engineer, sustainability policy specialist, that kind of thing. And you know, I was suddenly hit by climate grief a number of years ago, and you know, just knowing the actual depth and details of how bad things were actually going to be, I was hit with a lot of grief. And in my grief, I realized that it wasn't being acknowledged or recognized in the world and in this even workplace where I thought I was working at that very intersection of that climate action that was needed. Mm-hmm. And so I realized that there was something missing in that, like I wasn't being heard, and it didn't feel like I was whole, because I was one way you know, a non-emotional like worker bee in one sense, and then a grieving human in another sense. And so that was sort of my origin story of realizing that we don't just need this math equation of, you know, less carbon emissions. We need also this really deep culture change, because even if we have all of those, you know, policies that maybe will make us have, will enable us to have a more sustainable environment to live in, we're still going to have this deeply traumatizing aspect of culture where we're forced to cut off parts of ourselves. We're forced to really, there's this huge imbalance of that masculine and feminine way of being in the world. And so that's sort of my origin story, where then I was just, you know, started really exploring the coaching space, the coaching world, and what it means to become whole, and really all of the actual construction that we've had of the masculine way of being, really deconstructing that for myself, and really, you know, finding out all the ways that we've been indoctrinated into this narrative of being a certain way, especially, you know, being trained as an engineer. And for myself, you know, growing up as a Chinese Canadian, you know, really first generation, really feeling that need to conform to the culture.
Yeah.
That for me felt like a really, like it was another strong aspect of what I had to deconstruct for myself. Yeah. 'Cause I really bought into that narrative.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're at a very similar spot. Yeah, I actually haven't. I've heard the term climate grief before, but I'm not. I wasn't really sure of. I've never really worked with it. I've never, you know. But it's becoming very real for a lot of people, and I'm curious. Do we want to define that? Do you want to define what you mean by climate grief? Because I think that'll help kind of set the tone for the conversation moving forward.
Sure, for sure. So, for me, climate grief is just the grief and anxiety you feel when your environment around you is changing and you realize it is changing. Yeah. So it can be even, I don't know, if you ski, the loss of your ski season or the shortening of your ski season or the, you know, just the changes in your environment, whether in your direct local area or just even grieving for the changes that are happening in other parts of the world, right? Yeah. And I think this grief is this other piece too, where it's something that is a key to what is not in alignment in ourselves.
Yeah.
If we are able to start to feel this grief. So for me, so going back to your question, sorry, climate grief is just this mourning of the changes that are happening in your environment.
Yeah. Okay. That's good for the listener to understand. I think, you know, and we both live in Canada, in Western Canada. So we are noticing the wildfires every summer getting worse and worse and worse, right? Mm-hmm. That's one of the things. So it greatly impacts me living in Calgary, because the wildfires mostly are in BC. They come into Alberta as well, but the smoke is constantly, like, basically July and August are inundated with smoke. We're literally living in smoke in Calgary. So these are some of the things that we're noticing, and yeah, there's a huge impact on, you know, your quality of life. And I think this is important to address. And, you know, we talk about the masculine and the feminine, and I think this directly relates, because Gaia, Mother Earth, is a feminine entity, a feminine being, feminine energy. And it's been, the planet has been completely inundated with a masculine energy because of the patriarchal system, right? The patriarchal system, meaning the masculine energy on this planet, has been dominant for millennia, really. And it's getting to the point now where there is so much of this through things like capitalism, where we're consuming so much on this planet, and the planet's becoming so populated that, and there's this mentality around doing in the masculine. Everything's about, like, do and to utilize resources and stuff like that, and over utilize resources, I'll say, because I'm definitely in support of resource development and economy, but I also think it needs to be in harmony, right? We need harmony, and that's the masculine and the feminine being in harmony. So what I'm noticing now, and this bleeds into my observation of what's happening on the planet, from an energetic perspective, I'm noticing a shift on this planet. The planet is starting to amplify the feminine energy, and the its inhabitants, because we are connected directly to the planet, are starting to feel that feminine energy, right? Which is, for a lot of us, our whole lives have been governed by this masculine energy and conforming to that masculine energy, that it's creating a lot of discomfort for a lot of people. And, you know, if the masculine energy says to do, 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 go, 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 the feminine energy wants us to slow down and be with ourselves. And this is creating so much discomfort for people. And in that, that's where we are experiencing things like grief and trauma healing, because we are slowing down enough to be able to tap into that stuff. So I see it on like a individual level, but I'm also seeing it on a collective level where, there's an uprising right now of people that are challenging this paradigm of the masculine. And the people that are in the masculine and are still really indoctrinated by that are starting to fight back. So we're seeing a division. And I think this bleeds into a lot of the spiritual work that I do, because a lot of spirituality is deconditioning and removing ourselves away from the paradigms that have taught us to rape and pillage this planet, right? And I do think that we're moving towards more people waking up. But right now I'm feeling a huge divide in this world between this masculine, feminine, and some of us have woken up and are allowing our feminine to come through, and some of us are resisting it. And that's what I'm noticing. So, yeah.
Yeah. No, that's true. And I don't know if you're noticing it more also because you live in Alberta, where it's traditionally more conservative and you get more of that resistance, right? Mm-hmm. But I think people are waking up. People are waking up and they're noticing that something isn't quite right here. Like, yeah, we have so many crises happening around the world and, you know, and something's just not working. And I wanted to read a little bit of a quote here because I think that, to me, it makes a lot of sense. And it just talks about, it's from The Myth of Human Supremacy by Derek Jensen. Mm. And he writes, until the supremacism is questioned and dismantled, the self-perceived entitlement that flows from this supremacism guarantees that every attempt to stop this culture from killing the planet will fail in great measure, because these attempts will be informed and limited by this supremacism, and thus will be at best be ways to slightly mitigate harm, with the primary point being to make certain to never in any way question or otherwise endanger the supremacism or entitlement. Mm-hmm. And I love that because it highlights that we can't continue to fix these problems from within this paradigm. We can't continue to fix it within this framework, because we're only just going to be tweaking it rather than completely recreating it.
I fully agree. And if you look at the way that this world is ran right now within this capitalist model that we have, you have the most elite people who own both of the streams. They own the Greenpeace and they also own the oil companies, right? Two major companies like BlackRock and Vanguard, they own everything in this world basically. And they own the Greenpeace, they own the oil. So how on earth are we supposed to make changes in this planet when the people who are sitting at the top that are pulling all the strings are literally benefiting from both paradigms? Mm-hmm. Right? So we need the people need to rise up and challenge this elitist mentality, which I think you're defining as supremacy, right? And I would define it as elitism, right? These people that are sitting at the top that are reinforcing this patriarchal mentality, or the way that we are relating with our world, with our planet. It becomes down to money. It all comes down to money and greed. And I think that's what I'm grieving right now, is there's so much anger in me that we are basically, I feel like I don't have control. That's what I feel. And that's what I'm grieving. I'm grieving the fact that I live on a planet where people are destroying this planet and I have no say in that. That's what I'm feeling. So it's like, and that's what I think I'm grieving, is like, how can I step into my power and how can I make a difference on this planet when I feel like I'm up against this massive wall? Like, it, you know what I mean? And so it's really tough. It's really challenging. Yeah,
it is really challenging. And and that's kind of why my theory of change begins with the individual, because I do believe that if we all individually, you know, change and rebalance this masculine and feminine energy within ourselves, we can create, you know, that beacon of light that allows others to kind of follow and then create change. Because I am seeing it in you know, some places where we're connecting with others who get it, who understand this change that is needed. And so for me, I feel like that is that's an easier way to kind of look at it, so that it doesn't feel so overwhelming. Because I do think that there's a lot of people who are awakening to the need for creating this change. It's interesting too, because I wanted to go back to what you had said about you know, our ability to exploit things. Because for me, what I've really found interesting in my journey is just uncovering sort of the history and the anthropology of how certain narratives came to be in some ways. And I find it really interesting because it's this, as we talk about the masculine and feminine, the masculine emphasizing the mind, right? And things that think. So I found it really interesting that because of that narrative, because of that value, we started to value things that could think, things that did have a brain, you know, other, not rather than rocks and trees in the land, because they don't have brains, they can't be alive and they are not as valuable. And I found that really interesting as just to rethink, because all of these are just constructs, right? Yeah. And it's because of this construct we've been able to continue to exploit and continue to, you know, destroy and pillage and take and take and take. So if the more people that can start to really reexamine where these narratives come from and kind of break it all apart, for me, I find it really interesting, just because it's all just a arbitrary in some ways, right?
Yeah, there was something I was going to say and then it just eluded me. The heck was it? Oh, that's what it was. So the masculine and the feminine on an individual level, this is a lot of the work that I'm doing right now. And a lot of the work that I teach is how to bring this forward. And one of the things that I always say to people when they're really struggling with the deconstruction of the patriarchy and grieving that is to connect with nature, because that's one of the best ways for us to connect with our feminine, because nature just is. And it's a very much about beingness. And I think that when we do create that relationship with the mother, with this planet, we feel more protective of her and we want to see things right. You know what I mean? And I think that that's an important part of this. I think, you know, I studied shamanism for about 6 years. And then since then I've had implemented it into my life, in my very much into my spiritual practice. And that's all about being with the land and working with the elements and feeling into the life. And that's when I learned that a tree is a sentient being. A tree is it's amazing. And all these organisms and, you know, plants and the rivers, everything is life. It's alive. And a lot of us, because we are so indoctrinated into thinking them as objects, not as life, it's easy for us to just sign the dotted line for us to exploit and destroy them. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's it's problematic, but I do want to also, because I'm a Gemini and I do sit in the middle always. I play in the gray space a lot. So I always can see both sides of everything. I think we are over exploiting. I do still believe that some form of development of these things are important, because we wouldn't have resources on this planet if we weren't meant to use them, right? Like trees build houses and right. So I don't want it to come off that I'm saying that we should just go back to, you know, carriage and horse and that. I think we need to restore balance on this planet. That's what I'm in support of. So I think we need to have the middle ground. Right. And you talk about in Buddhism, the middle way. I think that's what we've lost. We've gone far right, which is masculine, right? And we need to come back into that center line where we can start to acknowledge that, yeah, we are exploiting this planet and it's destroying us and creating climate issues. And we need to look at how we can be responsible in the development of our resources. And, you know, people need to be accountable to that. And it's not just about exploit, fill up people's bank accounts, and then the top elite people get richer and richer and richer off of exploiting our planet. It's not their planet, it's our planet, right? We all share it. So I think these sorts of things need to start to be talked about, and they need to be talked about at the same table. Right? You can't just have protests and then have one side, the other side. We all need to come to the same table and we need to have these conversations. And do you have any, you know, like suggestions on how that would look, or like, do you know any information of how these conversations are already happening maybe?
I'll get back to that, but I wanted to say, like, mention something. Cause as you were talking, I think what you were talking about too, was just embodying that feeling, like being in nature is embodying that connection. And what struck me and what you were saying was also relationship. So we talk a lot about being in right relationship, and being in right relationship is being in a relationship that's balanced and sustainable. That give and take is equal. Right. So, sure. So I think, I just wanted to mention it just because I think that that's what we need to be working towards is balancing, embodying our connection to nature, embodying our relationship to nature, because we are very much in relationship. And that's the thing that this patriarchy or masculine kind of culture has told us is relationships are linear, right? Like if I can see a direct connection to you, that's fine. But if I can't see a direct connection to the stranger over there, I'm unlikely to understand my relationship to them because I don't have a direct line in this linear model, right?
Yeah.
So it is deconstructing all of those narratives that we've been given about how things work, what relationships we really have with each other and the environment.
Yeah.
As a starting point to understanding how we can rebalance this relationship, right?
Yeah.
Rebalance our actual, like the physical material world of exchanges that we're having.
Yeah. And I love that, you know, and it makes me think about like what we see on the news is we see the extremes, right? We see the oil companies and then, or the agriculture. And then on the other side, we see like these people that are hardcore protesting, right? Like even like eco-terrorism kind of mentality. And that's what we're seeing in the news. So it reinforces when we see the far, far, far right, it reinforces the left to go further into their beliefs. And when we see the far, far left, it reinforces the right to go in. So we need those people like, I would say like us, who are more, we can actually think and we can see both sides of the equation and bring those people to the table, right? Because it's going to be really hard. And I do think that, you know, activism is very important in this work, don't get me wrong, but I don't think those are the people that can come to the table and negotiate, because it's like, they want it to be this way, right? They want to see the oil companies go completely under, nowhere. The oil companies want to see these people piss off, right? So there has to be some sort of, the word is balance. That's the word that keeps coming through, is this energy of like, how can we coexist together and preserve this planet and still also, you know, harvest wood so we can live in wood built homes those sorts of things. So it's we have a ways to go. And I even notice myself, like I feel overwhelmed even talking about this too. Like there's an overwhelming energy in my body that's like, oh, wow, like we, you know, is this ever going to come forward, or are these people that hold the power going to be so rooted in ego that they can't let go? They can't let go of the grip of the money that they're making, and the greed, that we're going to literally end up destroying this planet and it's going to lead to the death of billions of people, right? That's something that, you know, I think about. Yeah.
And the word empathy comes to mind too, as you're talking about how these two sides come together. It's it's empathy as well too. But I really think that the work you're doing, Matt, because I see the other side too. I see those who are actually, who are working in the field of trying to implement climate action and that kind of thing too. And I don't think the answer is either way, like you said, it is balanced. And I think it's also very internal too. And that's what I've come to. And that's why, you know, my origin story really is forced me to realize that it's so much more than our external actions as well, but also this huge internal work that we all need to do. And collectively, if we can all kind of do that, I think we can get to this place where we are changing the relationships that we have with each other. Yeah. And I think the work that you do and the work that I'm doing and the work that so many other people are doing are the inspiration, the beacons of light for others to realize that we don't have to live in this world where we're continuing to grieve this way of life that we can't have. And that grief is really just this a sign that there's something out of alignment for us internally.
Yeah. You said it so well. I'm curious, maybe I would love to talk about why there's resistance to the feminine rising and why this patriarchal system is holding on so tight and why it's indoctrinating us. Like, you know, because I think that we need that. Like when you think about like human beings on this planet, a lot of people are conformists. Like you said, you have that in your story as well. So do I. And when we're conformists, we are easily controlled. Right. And we are controlled by shame. We are controlled by fear. And I'm seeing this massively on the planet right now. Like we literally are so controlled by fear. It's unbelievable. And I think I'm curious, how can we start to move away from this resistance to the feminine rising? And why do we even have it? That's what I want to unpack with you.
Move away from this resistance. I don't know if I can answer that, but I can only answer like how moving towards it feels good.
Okay. Well, you go there and then maybe I'll see what comes through as you share that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's hard, right? It's hard to feel uncomfortable, and that's what this work is about, right? Feeling a lot of discomfort, also unpacking a lot of trauma. I think you've talked about trauma, like not just big T trauma or little T trauma. And I'm not sure where that term came from. It came from a book anyways, but big T trauma being something that's like super overt, explicit, horrible, horrible, horrible.
Yeah.
And little T trauma being something that's a little bit more subtle. And I would say that isn't like that trauma is all of the narratives that have caused you to conform in some way, make yourself a little less whole to fit in, like either by cutting off some part of you that is what it's, you know, that is part of you or like conforming in a way just to fit in. Right.
Yeah.
And so all of that causes trauma. And I think it's realizing and being able to face that trauma. That's the hard part of this work and why I think a lot of people are resistant to it. Cause they're like, oh, I'd rather just stay in my little numbing little world and totally. I'm fine. I'm going to go forward. I'm going to keep doing this because that work is hard. Moving towards that uncomfortable work is really hard and healing all of those traumas, but it's worth it because it feels really good to reclaim your wholeness. Right. And, but that's the part that people don't realize because it's really subtle. All of that little T trauma is really subtle, right? Like all the ways that you're told you're not good enough or you're too much or whatever, they're really subtle and it's hard to reclaim those pieces because you've lost them. Like it's harder to, you know, realize what it is that you need to be reclaiming.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like for those reasons, yeah, that's the resistance to it, right?
Yeah. Did you have something else to say?
No, I'll go for it.
Okay. Yeah, there's so much that was stimulated. I think there's this notion of people like, okay, I'll reverse a little bit. I'm, as you know, I'm an empath. I feel truth. I'm an intuitive empath. I feel truth. So I often am privy to things that are happening on this planet on an energetic level. I can tap into the collective grid and I can feel truth. Okay. And I think a lot of people would rather remain ignorant, and because ignorance is bliss for some people. And it's just like, I would rather not know what's going on this planet behind the scenes. And they just stay in that camp. And then there's people who are willing to go into the truth, right? An inconvenient truth over a reassuring lie. I think some people just love the reassuring lie. They're like, sure, I'll just stay over here. I'll keep thinking this. I'll keep thinking there's nothing wrong with the planet. I'll keep thinking that there's not this elite group of people that are trying to control us. What I say is, when you see, you can't unsee, right? And I think that's what a lot of people are at right now, is they don't want to see how fucked up this world is, because they would rather remain ignorant, because they don't want to have to deal with what I've been dealing with, and probably you've been dealing with for the last few years, where it causes fear, it causes anxiety, it causes overwhelm, right? And a lot of people are like, I'd rather just not see it. So I think that's kind of the psychology of it, in my opinion, around people just remaining in this patriarchal system, in this masculine energy, because they don't want to have to do the work that's going to be like, holy crap, we live in a crazy world. And then it creates discomfort. And I think a lot of us as human beings, we just will do anything in our life to avoid discomfort.
Yeah. Absolutely. They're maybe benefiting from some of the narratives, that's
huge,
that allow them to continue into that space. But also, what was I going to say? Looking at that, it requires that deconstruction of identity, that grieving of identity, you said, and like you talked about before. And that is hard. That is really hard work. And I lost my train of thought.
It's okay. It happens to all the greatest minds, because we got so much going on up there.
Totally. It is hard. And it's something that, I think, though, when people feel that emptiness, they realize that there is something missing and that there is something wrong. And I think the other thing too, is it's insidious, right? Like, that's how I describe it. It's so insidious, because you don't even realize that was the culture that you bought into.
Yeah.
That you were indoctrinated in. You may not even had a choice, but you fully bought into it. And that's what I did too. And it was hard to really kind of look at that and then realize that, hey, these are all just narratives. They're kind of just made up, or they kind of were made up, but you also, that means you have the choice to not actually buy into that and believe something different.
Totally.
And I think the other insidious thing about these narratives are that they limit your agency, right? They limit the ability you have to believe in something new and a different possibility. And they limit it by limiting your self-esteem and your knowledge of the things that you could do, what you're good at, what you might be capable of doing, right? And they limit the hope that you have that something can change. So in all of those ways, if you're kind of like, well, I need to not, or I want to not feel limited by these things, then it really takes looking at those narratives to uncover really the full agency that you have. We have so much more than we all believe, just because we have these filters and these lens that have told us this is not possible, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. And what I want to talk about is because I've been kind of overarching talking about collective and the system. And now I want to talk about how the collective affects the individual, because I think that does play into this a little bit. Because, you look at the patriarchal system, what are they doing to dominate and what are they using to dominate? Well, fear is one of them, but I think one of the biggest ones is shame. And they attribute, you look at the treatment of women, you look at the treatment of the feminine energy, they attribute it to weak, passive, these sorts of things. And a lot of men on this planet, that's the last things they want to be associated with. So they're using shame to control men in saying, you have to show up this way, be tough, macho, not be sensitive, not be empathic, not care about the planet. This is how we want you to be, right? And I think what that does is I find in my work, a lot of men are cut off from their bodies. They're cut off from the embodiment and they're living up in their mind, which is very masculine, right? So how on earth are we supposed to have compassion, empathy for the planet when we're disconnected from the very part of us that is actually part of this planet, which is our body? Our body is nature. We are one with this planet in our body. And so I do think that that's a big thing. And then I think that also impacts women too, because, you know, women, often throughout probably history, there's an inferiority around men because men have been put up on a pedestal that the masculine energy is somehow better or superior. And I think that there's probably a lot of women on this planet that have been indoctrinated by that same ideology, and they have rejected their own feminine and they have come in more connection with their cerebral self, their masculine energy. So, you know, this isn't just a male issue. It's not just about getting men into their feminine. This is about also getting women into their feminine as well, because we all have both masculine and feminine energies within us. And a lot of us have rejected this feminine part of us. And this is the part that we need to start to allow and bring up. And one thing I do want to say is that if we won't do this work, the work will be done on our behalf. And I'm seeing this a lot, is the universe will put you into submission. If you don't submit yourself to allowing your feminine to rise, the universe will act on your behalf. That's how powerful this universe is and how powerful this planet is. We will start to see that. We'll see men being submitted into slowing down, into connecting with that part of themselves by force if they don't choose to do it. And it's crazy. So for the people out there listening to this, choose to integrate your feminine, because it'll be a much more enjoyable experience than having yourself be submitted into this process, because the planet is realizing that it's in great danger right now. So it is doing what it does to adapt, which is going to submit a lot of us into our feminine so that we will start to see through the eyes of compassion and empathy. So that's what I'm noticing as well.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And, you know, if I can offer one thing, one place to kind of start looking at that, and is just in re-examining all the ways in which we measure things, right? So, you know, we've been measured by how many degrees we have, our education, our weight, our, you know, whatever, like all of these different ways that we've been measured.
Yeah.
Are all the places that I think you can start to look at and re-examine. Like, yes. How valid is this? Because our measurement system is derived from our masculine perspective, you know, the masculine narrative, dominant culture only started to measure things that they thought were more valuable,
yeah,
and really were things that were more tangible, right?
Yeah.
And so we didn't measure clairsentience and feelings and intuition or those kinds of things because that was deemed not as valuable. So start by looking at what we measure and all the ways that you've been told you measure up or don't measure up.
Yeah.
Really re-examine that. And I think that's a good place to start, because it really starts to get you to think how valid it is and who you really are, because if you're not these measurements, then what else are you, right?
Yeah.
And totally becoming embodied is such an important part of that, because of that emphasis that we've had. And you're right, it happens for everybody, right? It's not just men, but women for sure have been indoctrinated into this whole thing. Like, I thought it was like a source of pride that, you know, oh, I don't cry in movies.
Yeah.
I used to say that. Now I'm just like, I'm bawling in a commercial, right? You know, because it was like, we've been told so much, like keep that in. Like, that is not something we want to see because of this.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And that's impacted me so much, because as a sensitive man and a sensitive boy, I did have very, very deep empathy. I would see somebody suffering and I would feel like crying. And then if I would, it would be shamed. You know, don't cry. Why are you crying? You're a boy. You shouldn't cry, right? And again, that's part of the patriarchal system trying to control us. Human beings are naturally compassionate, empathetic, and emotional, but yet we've been taught to shut that part of ourselves off. And what we're shutting off when we shut that off is we're shutting off our compass that's telling us what we need and what we desire, right? Our emotions are so important. And if we shut them off, we are shut off from ourselves. We're shut off from our intuition. We're shut off from our guidance system, right? And that's what this dominator system wants. They want us all disconnected from our intuition. They want us all disconnected from our truth. They want us all disconnected from our sovereignty and agency. And they want us to be little sheep that just conform and do what they want us to do, right? And I am sick of it. I am so sick of it. And that's why I'm becoming more of an activist towards authenticity, because authenticity is about all these things. It's about making change, right? And I used to be a conformist, and now I'm a reformist. And in some camps, I'm a rebellion, right? I'm rebellious because I feel like we need to make big changes on this planet. And sometimes the only way we can do that is by rebelling against the system. And so definitely very much picking up on these vibes. And I love the fact that you talk about measurement, because that is so such a masculine thing. And what came to mind when you said that is this notion around look good, feel good. I hear this all the time from people, from men and women. And there's this notion of like, look good, feel good. And I think the look good is the masculine and the feel good is the feminine, right? And it's great to look good. There's nothing wrong with that, but we are so over-identified with looking good and presenting a certain image to the world so other people can feel good about who we are, right? That's what we're more concerned about. We're more concerned about other people's opinion of us than we're concerned about our own opinions of us. And that's, again, another conformist mentality. And I think when we move over into this arena of feel good is when we become embodied, right? Which is why I love your guys' podcast, because it's all about the felt sense. It's all about coming into connection with how we feel being in our own skin, right? So again, I love that you said that, because I would invite other people, listeners and viewers of this, to start to connect downward into the body and just really, you know, stop looking in mirrors so much and really connect into how you feel, because that's going to get you rooted into that energy that we're talking about of compassion and empathy for yourself, and stop being so hard on yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's that disembodiedness is making you feel the focus on your external appearance rather than what you're actually feeling inside.
Exactly.
Our podcast is called Embody the Evolution, because we really feel that it's the embodiment of all of this, all of your whole self, of all of your feelings and everything like that, that we need moving forward. And going back to this collective piece that we've been talking about, I very much feel like if you're looking at what can I do about this collective problem we all have, it is that individual work, starting with that individual work there. And then something else that came to mind while you were talking was just what Byron, I think Byron Katie says, of question everything.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Question everything. Question everything that you've been told about who you are, mm-hmm. how you measure up. Yeah. And what you should be doing, and what success looks like. For me, that's been like the biggest thing. That's just like, it's such crap. What we've been told we should strive for.
Yeah,
what success looks like. It's yeah.
Yeah, I love that you're grappling with that, because it's like, I feel like we need more of that. I really struggle with people on this planet not questioning everything. Like, how do you not question everything, right? Like, you know, I've had people call me like, what's the word that this one person used to describe me? Cynical. That I'm so cynical. And I'm like, I kind of internalized that for a moment. I'm like, am I really cynical? And I'm thinking, no, I'm a critical thinker. Right. And I question everything because I want to know what I'm putting into my body. I want to know what, you know, impact it's having on the earth. I want to know, you know, where I'm putting my money, right? Like, am I giving my money to a corporation that's destroying the planet? Right. I want to know all this stuff. So I question everything. And I think that's how I've gotten to where I am in my relationship with myself and my authenticity, is by questioning everything and saying no when everybody says yes, or going left when everybody goes right. Like, that's just, you know, part of, you know, when you question everything. And I think that's why a lot of people don't question everything, is because they don't want to know. They'd rather remain ignorant, and they don't want to be shamed, because that's what our system does. Anybody that goes left when you go right, they shame you. And you have to be really tolerant of shame when you choose authenticity over conformity, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's true. But we're also not taught to question everything, right? This is the way things work. This is the way, you know, this is how we value things. That's it, right? That's what you've totally. Learned. And so we're not really taught to question everything. Only yeah. until our own body says, hang on, something's not right. Something doesn't feel in alignment.
Yeah.
Right. And yeah. for me, it was that dichotic experience of being like, not being in grief, but not being recognized, not being allowed to acknowledge that yeah. in an environment that I thought would of all places. But yeah. so yeah, it was just, your body will tell you, your body will tell you when something's not in alignment. And yeah, it's that's mm-hmm. something's not right.
Yeah.
And that's that narrative that we have. Yeah. And that'll, you know, your sign to maybe start examining what those beliefs are.
Yeah, exactly. And the system doesn't want us to question everything, you're right. And so they keep us disconnected from our bodies. Nothing is about the body, right? It's all about the mind. Everything's about mental stimulation, mind control, these sorts of things. So it's like, the more you connect with your body, the more you connect with your intuition, the more you connect with your intuition, the more you're going to question everything, because you're going to start to see discrepancies between what they're saying and what they're doing, and all these things, right? And I think I'm very blessed, and I feel blessed, because for most of my life I've been in tune with my being an empath. So I have this kind of natural mechanism built in me to say, that doesn't feel right. Right. But there was a long period of time in my life where I was disconnected from my emotions. So I wasn't as connected to that. But now that I've been embodied, it's like my empathy's through the roof. Like I can feel just watching the news, I'm like, I know if this is propaganda and I know if this is truth. I can just feel it in my body. Like I get a resonance with it. Mm. So I know a lot of people don't have that, but you can develop it. You can That's right. develop it. We all have it. We all have empathy. We all have clairsentient to a certain degree, and we all have intuition. So you just have to go downward and connect to it. And I think that's what we're really hitting home here, is like, do that work, right? Slow yourself down, connect to your felt sense, get out into nature, do these things that are going to help you restore this part of you that's been indoctrinated to not be that way, right? Because it serves the system, doesn't serve us as individuals.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. It's that intuition. Like, can you imagine if we had, way back whenever, the culture that dominated was not this culture that cut off, like burned witches at the stake because they were too intuitive, you know? Like,
yeah, seriously.
You know, can you imagine what it would be like? So, you know, it was just totally arbitrary, in my opinion, how things this became this dominant narrative. And when you go back into history and you look at that and you're just like, oh, that's where that came from. Like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, it's this funny story where it's like, beavers were used to be classified as fish because, you know, way back when, at some point, the parishioners were like, asked the church, hey, can we eat beavers on Fridays? You know, cause you can only eat fish on Fridays. Are beavers fish? The church is like, yeah, okay, sure. It swims in water. It's fish. You can have it for Fridays. It's like so arbitrary, these things that have just been decided. I mean, and then at some point it got reclassified as a mammal or whatever. But like, it's like, wow. These things were just like a historical happening, right? And yes. and when you realize that it's not something that has to be true for you, then you can choose something different. And I think that's the empowering piece of deconstructing all of this.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that just so funny how the human race / human mind can do that? It can literally use denial to make you believe your own lies, or to twist something so much that it can become a completely different reality in a different context. It's like, it's just unbelievable, right? And I think that's what's happened on this planet. There's just so much twisted stuff that's been twisted that over, and they've done it so slow that over the course of time, we don't realize it. Because, you know, the indoctrination happens so slowly that it's like, I don't know, it's all just seems so elusive. You got to be really sharp to pick up on these things, in my opinion. So,
yeah, for sure. And it's in the DNA, right? Like it's mm-hmm. all of this has been passed on and indoctrinated and
totally.
Know, it's hard to see for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I feel like we hit on all the points. Is there anything that you feel like you want to say before we start landing the plane?
Mm-hmm. No, I feel like we can we can start to close it down. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Just trying to think if there's anything that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel pretty good about what we've shared.
I mean, I know that I felt like I was, you know, jumping around, but I know we didn't necessarily touch on the collective grief as much, but I think we did really kind of.
Yeah. And I would highlight too for people, if you want to know a little bit more about grief, then I would go to the podcast, Embody Your Evolution. And we talked a lot about grief, and we did bleed it into more relational dynamics like codependency and stuff like that. But this conversation was more to be about, I think what came through was perfect. Right. And I think I love that we're both so passionate about this, and we're both, you know, change makers in our own way and bringing forth this, you know, this change that we need to see in this world. So yeah, I'm super, super happy about that. Yeah. So you and Kat, your podcast, Embody the Evolution, available on Spotify. So definitely get out there and check that out. I will have it in the show notes. The two episodes that I was on there, I'll put those in. And you can be found at www.leslieng.com, LESLIENG.com. So if people want to connect with you, they can just connect with you through your website.
Sure. Yeah. Or they can find me on Instagram too at leslieng.co.
Okay. Yeah. Wonderful. And you have a 12-week coaching program where you help people deconstruct harmful narratives and heal wounds to transform their understanding of themselves and the world so they can become more resilient and get back to doing powerful change-making work. So everything we just talked about, you have a program that can guide people through this. So
yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've been indoctrinated with this certain ontology of what is real and what's not. And this program will really go deep, pretty deep, to deconstructing some of that.
Yeah, I love that. I love it, love it, love it. Okay, well, cool. I just want to thank the audience for tuning into another episode, episode 36. I will have Kat on the next episode, which is your partner in crime on the podcast. Yep. So she'll be on the next episode. We're not for sure yet what we're going to be talking about, but it'll be really, really juicy. So stay tuned for episode 37. And yeah, if you're watching on YouTube, please like and subscribe and leave some comments in the section. I'd love to know what you thought about this conversation. I'm sure it's going to stimulate a lot of stuff for a lot of people. So let us know whether you agree with us or not. We'd love to hear your thoughts and opinions in the comments. And if you're listening on your favorite podcast platform, please also subscribe to the podcast and give us a rating and leave us a review. I read the testimonials at the beginning of each episode, as you can see. So would love to be able to share your testimony of how you experience the Inspired to Be Authentic podcast. So. And awesome. Thank you, Leslie, for coming today and sharing your experience, your wisdom, and your authenticity with us. We really appreciate it. So thank you.
Thanks so much for having me, Matt.